From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Coming up this week, the governor and mayor of New York City speak at dueling rallies on education. Political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on the widening philosophical gap between the two men, and there's a new Republican candidate for governor in New York. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Cuomo and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio spoke at dueling rallies on education at the state capitol that highlighted the two politicians' differences over education issues. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt has more.
A rally to promote New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's plan for universal pre-kindergarten had been planned for weeks. The mayor spoke to around 1,500 union members, urging them to put pressure on state lawmakers to approve in the state budget the mayor's plan that he says would provide classes for thousands of four-year-olds starting in September.
This is the year that the people's voice is going to ring loud. This is the year we're going to convince Albany no more waiting, no more delays, no more watering down, when we need this for our children now.
De Blasio is seeking permission from Governor Cuomo and the legislature to raise income taxes on the rich to pay for universal pre-K, but so far Cuomo has said he wants the state to fund it instead in a five-year phase-in plan. Cuomo was not at the pre-K rally. Instead, he was the featured speaker at a more recently planned and bigger event just two blocks away in front of the state capitol.
I don't feel cold, I feel hot! I feel fired up!
Several thousand charter school students and their teachers protested Mayor de Blasio's plan to bar some charter schools from rent-free space in New York City's public schools. Cuomo, highlighting another difference in policy approach between the governor and the mayor, assured the crowd that he would help the schools.
And we are here today to tell you that we stand with you. You are not alone. We will save charter schools.
The governor did not mention Mayor de Blasio by name in his speech, and de Blasio did not mention Cuomo. The two later met in a lengthy closed-door meeting. Afterward, de Blasio characterized it as productive but offered no details. Cuomo did not speak to reporters. Republicans who rule the Senate in a coalition government have also rejected Mayor de Blasio's plan to tax the wealthy. Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, a Democrat, though, has been a supporter. But Silver, who also spoke at the universal pre-kindergarten rally, did not specifically commit himself to backing a new tax on the rich.
New Yorkers must be committed to UPK funding that is significant, recurring, and sustainable year after year.
Silver, speaking to reporters before the event, made clear, though, that the mayor's proposal is definitely still on the table. The speaker refused to be drawn into the growing rivalry between de Blasio and Cuomo and the competing rallies, saying,
"It's Albany. Everybody, everybody has a right to say what they want to say. You know, we have brochures. You can lobby Albany. That's it. At its finest."
Silver says he doesn't read anything more into it. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Westchester County Executive and Republican Rob Astorino officially announced he's running for governor this week. Legislators on both sides of the aisle say he is a credible and personable candidate, though Democrats say he faces an uphill battle. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn.
In a nearly 6.5-minute video message on his campaign website, Astorino delivered a widely anticipated announcement.
"I'm Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, and I'm announcing my candidacy today for governor of New York State. because I'm tired of listening to the fairy tale that everything is just great when it's just the opposite. I'm tired of watching New York's decline.
Gerald Benjamin is a political science professor at the State University of New York at New Paltz. He says the video message is effective.
You know, he's an attractive person. He has an attractive family. It was an attractive setting. Making the announcement in the video was a very controlled environment and, effective in immediately reaching out broadly.
He says Astorino has a challenging road ahead of him, given first-term Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo's popularity and campaign war chest.
The announcement touched all the issue bases, some of which I think it's a right-center kind of argument, and I think the governor is not vulnerable on a lot of the points that were raised. Some points were generated to appeal to core Republican constituencies, and they will, like the SAFE Act point and the point about prison education, but they're not winning arguments statewide. The core statewide issues are on economic development and property tax relief, and I think the governor's been very aggressive on those issues.
Cuomo has not yet announced he will run for a second term, though it is expected he will. A spokesman for the New York State Democratic Committee released a statement saying, quote, "We look forward to an entertaining Republican primary process and are ready to run against whomever their nominee is in September," end quote. Astorino scored a decisive win in November for a second term in a county where Democratic voters outnumber Republican voters by at least a 2-to-1 margin, and he mentions in his ad his appeal to Democrats and independents. Michael Smith is a Republican legislator on the Westchester County Board of Legislators. His district includes Mount Pleasant, where Astorino resides. Smith believes Astorino's cross-party appeal in Westchester will translate statewide.
The last couple of years, Rob Astorino has been able to put together a coalition in the legislature, which has been outnumbered. I mean, there's more Democrats in the legislature than Republican, and Rob needed to create and craft agreements to get his budgets across the finish line. He was successfully able to negotiate, and he keeps his principle.
He adds,
Rob is very clear on what he believes in. He doesn't mealy-mouth around. He doesn't make up stories. He doesn't wait for polls to tell him what he should do or not make decisions because it's not politically expedient.
Democrat Catherine Borgia is the majority leader on the Westchester Board of Legislators. She says Cuomo not only has high approval ratings, but the advantage of being an incumbent.
The governing of a county is very, very different than the governing of a state. And one of the things that I think is going to be quite hard for Astorino as he moves up is I don't think he quite has the level of expertise or experience or vision to run an organization as complex as the government of New York State.
She worked for several years as Assemblywoman Sandy Galiff's chief of staff. Astorino in his message underscores the need for lower taxes, more jobs, and keeping New Yorkers from leaving the state. And he asked the following question twice.
As a state, are we winning or are we losing today? Because if New York is winning, reelect Andrew Cuomo. But if New York is losing, and the evidence says it is, we need to make a change.
Next up for Astorino, a statewide campaign kickoff tour.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Alan, it's never a dull week in New York State government and politics. Let's start with the continuing and widening gap between New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, this time over charter schools.
Well, as you know, Bill de Blasio is what I call a redistributive Democrat, meaning that a Robin Hood might do. He'd take from the rich and give to the poor. We see that in his idea that people who are in need of pre-K, young children, should get it, and that the very wealthy in New York City should pay for it. Now we have charter schools. Now, it's no secret that Bill de Blasio and organized labor are friends, and we know that there is nothing that the New York City education unions hate more than the charter schools, even though they started a couple of their own under the theory that if you can't lick them, join them. So he's an interesting guy. He comes in with a populist message. He gets overwhelmingly elected in the election. He doesn't even have to go into a runoff with his nearest rival, Bill Thompson. And all of a sudden, he finds himself at terrible odds with Cuomo. First, it was the pre-K and taxing the rich, which Cuomo does not want to do. After all, who do you think gave Cuomo the $32, $33 million that he has in his campaign account? And Cuomo, for that, is not loath to spend it. He's spending it now. You're seeing all of these ads, which look very much like a campaign ad. They walk like a duck and quack like a duck. And they're on showing that he's anti-taxation and the rest, and he cut taxes. So when it comes to pre-K, we see the fight. Now we see the fight over charter schools. Charter schools are, of course, for relatively few people in New York. They're done by lottery, but boy, I'll tell you, when he, de Blasio, started talking about making them pay rent and making them move into their own facilities and letting the rich people who are sponsoring them pay for them and pay for the places, he got Eva Moskowitz, who is the head of this large charter school system, got really angry. Morning Joe put her on the television. The Daily News and the New York Post came out strongly for the charter schools. And Cuomo goes out to the charter school rally, a massive charter school rally with thousands of people, and says at the top of his voice, he says, "You are not alone." And of course, he gets great cheers from this. So this may be more than de Blasio reckoned with.
An interesting conversation with former state assemblyman Jerry Kremer, and part of that extends from what you just said, which is that the city is a creature of the state.
That's right. It's an old political science law. We all taught it. City is a creature of the state. The state has sovereignty, or shared sovereignty, with the federal government. The cities are totally dependent on the legislature for getting anything done. There is a concept of home rule that the city has to ask for it. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't look to me like de Blasio fully understood. He thought he had the wind at his back. He thought that Cuomo would have to do what he wanted. But it turns out Cuomo's really ready to take him on. And for the progressives in the state, who are catering basically to the people with the least assets and the most to lose, the question always is, will those folks come out and vote and support de Blasio? In the past, they really haven't. Not the same way that the people with assets do. The more money you have, the more likely you are to exercise the franchise. I've said it 1,000 times. I say it again. So de Blasio and Cuomo is the most fascinating fight I have seen in years in this Albany arena. It does appear to me that Shelley Silver in the assembly has to go along with the de Blasio progressivism, there's no question, and with the unions, pro-unions, which often comes right from the money that Democrats get to run for office. The New York State Senate is much more in line with the Cuomo thinking, which is why a lot of people think Cuomo made sure that the Republicans would continue to run the Senate, even though he's a Democrat.
Alan, 4 freshman legislators, Democrats in the Albany area, are floating a bill that would say, do the crime, lose the pension.
That's right. You know, if there is something that sends shockwaves of fear into politicians, it's that if they do something wrong, their pension can be taken away from them for the rest of their lives. Now, I've been thinking about it. It's fascinating. If you say to a legislator, if you're a crook, we're going to send you to jail, the risk still seems to be worth taking. But if you say to them, you're a crook, we're going to send you to jail, and after you get out of jail, we're going to take your pension away, that seems to tip some people over. And the public, of course, has no tolerance for saying to somebody, okay, we're going to give you your pension for the rest of your life, even though you committed a crime and you're not entitled to that, they're going to say. So it's a popular position. It's interesting that it's coming from the backbenchers, the new people in the legislature, as opposed to the old hands who have, you know, even more to lose.
We have a Republican candidate for governor. No surprise, Rob Astorino, the Westchester County executive, announced this week that he will take on Governor Cuomo.
Well, he's popular. Westchester is a Democratic county now. Astorino was overwhelmingly reelected. He is a guy who is talking tactless, as the governor used to say. Mario Cuomo is down to earth. He's saying you're paying too much in taxes. And that is a message that is going to resonate with people in New York State. The latest polls show him 40 points behind Cuomo. That's huge. On the other hand, nobody really knows who he is. And I used to say, when Mario Cuomo was running for governor against Pataki, who he? Who's Pataki? But the fact of the matter is, he got elected governor three times and he beat Cuomo. So you never know what's going to come up out of this thing. If Astorino runs and loses by just a little bit, he's made his reputation and would be a rising star in New York. And he gets what's called a free ride, meaning that he doesn't have to give up his office as county executive in order to run for governor. He can just run and, you know, then come back to being county executive.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartock.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has formed a new task force to strengthen agriculture in the state. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley explains.
The Strategic Interagency Task Force on Lessening Obstacles to Agriculture, or SILO Task Force, is made up of people who work in agriculture and state agency officials. The task force is charged with ensuring all parties are communicating needs and interacting efficiently. New York Farm Bureau Public Policy Director Jeff Williams, a member of the task force, says most importantly, they will seek to lessen burdensome regulations.
Agriculture and farms in New York State are regulated by over a dozen federal and state agencies. Just in New York State, farms are regulated by the Department of Ag and Markets, the Department of Environment and Conservation, Department of Health, Tax and Finance, Department of Labor. And so the idea of this task force is to get all those regulating entities into the room with farmers and have conversations. So when one agency comes on a farm, it's not a train of other agencies coming in behind them.
Northeast Dairy Producers Association Executive Director Tanya Van Slyke, who is also on the task force, agrees and believes streamlining will help both farmers and state government.
There are various regulations that cross over, so multiple agencies might be regulating in similar areas. So I think the task force was created so that we could streamline some regulation in the state of New York in terms of agriculture and make sure that we don't have multiple agencies regulating in the same areas, but yet we're more streamlined and more efficient as state government.
As the governor unveils his task force to ease regulatory obstacles to farming, New York Senate Republicans are announcing new legislation to encourage young farmers to go into agriculture. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair, 48th District Republican Patty Ritchie, cited new federal statistics showing the average age of New York farmers is just over 57. She presented her Young Farmer New York plan to strengthen the future of agriculture and preserve family farms.
It recognizes that the biggest challenge to beginning farmers is the cost of farmland and equipment. It includes several ways that we make more capital available to young people, and we want to start their own farm and continue to make their business grow.
Fellow Republican and Agriculture Committee member Senator James Seward of the 51st District says helping agriculture is as important as supporting the emerging tech industry.
Helping our next generation of farmers contend with industry-specific hurdles, we will certainly boost our state's economy and sow the seeds for future growth of New York State and our state's number one industry.
The Young Farmer New York plan includes tax credits, a revolving loan fund, a farm savings account, innovation grants, apprenticeship programs, and estate tax reform.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. A statewide coalition met this week at the state capitol in Albany to call on New York lawmakers to take decisive action to combat the heroin and prescription drug epidemic through stronger prevention, treatment, and recovery efforts. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas was there and filed this report.
The heroin epidemic is shaping up to be one of the greatest domestic threats of the young century. Not a day seems to go by when there isn't a headline involving the opioid. And something of a national conversation began when Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin devoted his entire State of the State address to heroin. Experts regard prescription painkillers as gateways to heroin, and there are no quick solutions. Prescription drug use is off the chart, a jump from 5 million users in 1991 to 45 million today. John Coppola is the executive director of the New York Association of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Providers.
There is no way that you go from 5 million people consuming prescription opiates to 45 million without some consequences in the community.
ASAP notes that a bag of heroin at roughly $5 is far below the cost of a pack of cigarettes and far cheaper than other types of illegal recreational substances. Therese McHale of the New York chapter of Young People in Recovery was introduced to drugs in middle school.
I started out smoking weed, drinking, and partying on weekends. As time went on, I started using harder drugs more often and had been introduced to prescription pain medication by another student at my school. If I had known at that time what was to follow, I never would have taken those first pills.
Mikhail's young adulthood was hijacked by her addiction, and although she tried several times to get help, the medical system failed her in her darkest hour.
My father drove me an hour from our home, where we sat in an inpatient waiting room from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. as we waited for our health insurance company to call the rehab back. I remember vomiting outside, sweating profusely. As hours went by, I faded in and out of consciousness, holding on to the hope that help would be available. Only at the end of the day, we had waited just to find out I wasn't approved for treatment.
She eventually was forced to go cold turkey after being arrested and jailed. A sympathetic public defender helped her get the treatment she needed and eventually turned her life around, enrolled in community college, graduated, and now travels to local schools to share her experience with addiction as a preventative method. ASAP is calling for about $15 million in new funds for the Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services to address the heroin epidemic. The group cited numbers provided by the Trust for America's Health that show misuse and abuse of prescription drugs costs the U.S. an estimated $53.4 billion a year in medical and criminal justice costs and low productivity.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1410. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at the same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.